Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. Today, this second Sunday of May, we gather together to glorify God as we obey His command to honor our mothers. I want to personally thank you mothers for all of your love and sacrifice, devotion, and hard work that you continually give to care for your family, your children. Your love is truly an expression of God's love and of God's wisdom. It is spring now, and in the spring, we often have little kids born to us. That would be goats. Not little kids as children, little goats. And we had a little lamb born. And it is amazing just how fast those little babies begin to start walking. As soon as they're born, they're up running around. They may be little, but they hit the ground running. God gave them everything they need to be able to keep up with their mothers, so that they could keep moving with the herd. As I was watching these little kids, a little lamb, walking around shortly after it's born, I came inside and I looked at my newborn baby son. And there he was, laying there. Can't walk, can hardly move, can't roll over, can't even hold his head up. Super cute, really cute, but totally helpless. Then I began thinking about how wonderful God's plan was for this baby. God didn't give humans the ability to do much when they're born. They can suckle, and some of them struggle with that. What God gave to ensure that babies would be cared for is He gave babies mothers. He gave babies mothers. And He built within mothers this amazing ability to be super sensitive, to be ultra nurturing, to be able to tenderly, sensitively discern, sense, and care for the needs of these little helpless babies. It's amazing to me to see that mommy heart come through when babies are brought out. Oh, the little baby, oh! And they just kind of go and do all that ooing and aahing and all that mothering. All that mothering. So that's the answer for, what's God's answer for helpless babies? Mothers. He gave them mothers to be able to care for them and to take care of them. More and more studies show, and I quote, you keep your baby away from runny noses, clear him, keep him out of the sun, you baby-proof your home, gently bandage your baby's boo-boos, you make sure your child grows up healthy and strong. But compelling new research is showing that the strength of the mother-baby emotional bond may well trump all other measures you take to help your baby thrive. A close attachment can prevent disease, boost immunity, and enhance the IQ of your baby. So studies continually show God's wisdom, God's design. Certainly, it is best for children to be born in a family and raised with a family where there is a father and a mother. But there's something special about a mother's bond for her baby for the beginning of life. And there's researchers that have done a lot of work in this, and they get in trouble because they say only a mother can do this. Fathers don't do this. When fathers get tender and expressive with the babies, they tend to become playful, right? Babies, little babies, don't like it when you're playful with them. When I become playful with my baby, he just starts to cry. And I give him to his mom. It just doesn't work. And she goes, oh, little baby. She takes care of the little baby. It's amazing. It's God's design. Turn with me to Psalm 128. And let's look at God's blessing for mothers. God communicates to us his blessing, the blessed value of his design for the Christian family. We will look at this for mothers in particular and for the family in general. In a day when motherhood is under fire and often is sadly rejected and refused, it is important to see how God declares his blessed design for the family. And Psalm 128 is a wonderful expression of that. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears Yahweh, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. We see God's blessing for the family. And as this text opens up, we see that God's blessing is for everyone. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. The first word in this psalm is blessed. Blessed. There are two Hebrew words used to communicate blessing. The first and most common is the word barak. That's the most common word for blessing. This is not the word that is used here. The second word to communicate blessing is ashar. It carries with it the idea that man has to do something to receive this blessing. The next line supplies what is needed to receive this blessing. Ashar, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. This blessing is the obvious blessing that everyone can see because it is held as a universal good. But not everyone can receive this blessing. It is reserved only for those who have faith in God. We see this is a universal blessing in that this blessing is for everyone. Everyone is invited to have the blessing of a family. In that this blessing is recognized and an understood blessing for all the people on the earth. It's amazing. No matter where you go around the globe, I've been to the Middle East, I've been to Africa, different places, and everywhere you go in this earth, they value a blessed family along the lines of Psalm 128. I want to illustrate this in our culture, in our day, from a story from the LA Times. Okay, of all places, the LA Times is not a place where you would go to find biblical, conservative expressions of family life, right? The LA Times reported, Bill and Hillary Clinton have had many notable titles, Senator, Governor, Secretary of State, and President, and now they have a new one, grandparents. The former first couple are, quote, over the moon to be grandparents, one of the happiest moments of our life, says Hillary Rodham Clinton. Clinton, and they write, a potential 216 presidential candidate, which I thought was interesting that they had to just still put that in there, tweeted a photo of herself cuddling her new granddaughter with Bill Clinton at her side. So it's a good picture. She's cuddling the baby. You know, studies show that men and women hold their books differently when they're in college. Women tend to take their books and hold them like this. Men hold them at their side. Again, just the nature of men and women is so different. Here's Hillary Clinton cuddling her sweet little granddaughter. And she says, we are blessed, grateful, and so happy to be grandparents of this beautiful girl. We are thrilled to be with our daughter and her husband as they welcome their daughter into the world. Clinton said, being on grandbaby watch has led me to think more deeply about other children in America. I want every one of our children to feel that they are inheriting the best of America. That's from the LA Times, from Bill and Hillary Clinton. Why did they put that story in there? Why did they put a story emphasizing traditional biblical family blessings? And the reason is because traditional biblical family blessing is a universal recognized good from God. Hillary Clinton used the word, "This is a blessing." The word blessing is a religious term that gives glory to God. It is a gift from God because people recognize that children are a gift from God, a blessing, a blessing. So this is a universal recognized blessing for everyone. But this blessing, this ashar, is conditioned. It's a conditional blessing. Not everybody will have this blessing. And why is that? Because this is conditioned upon this. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walk in His ways, who walks in His ways. This is a conditional blessing predicated on faith in God. And faith in God is equivalent to one who fears God or fears Yahweh. And the one who has faith in God is the one who fears God, is the one who walks in His ways. Walking in the ways of God. So this blessing for the family is for those who walk in the ways of God. Because it is a universal blessing still today, it is one of the most powerful witnesses to the reality of the glory of God and the centrality of His gospel. It is one of the most powerful witnesses of the glory of God, of His design, and of the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this blessing that we have in Psalm 128 for those who trust in God. And that blessing is a family that is prospered by God. A family prospered by God. Few things could be as difficult than not being able to provide food for your family. So here is the ashar. Here is the blessing. When you labor, you shall reap the benefit of your labor. That's a key blessing from God. When you labor, you reap the benefit of your labor. Verse 2, Psalm 128. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. That's the word ashar. That's the blessing. This is the blessing that is a result of a duty you have done before God, and God has blessed you. Because of your faith, He's prospering you. And because of that, it shall be well with you. The word well there is tov, good. Good. This is the good life. And it shall be good with you. It shall be well with you. So the blessed life is a life of good, hard work, good, hard, and strenuous labor that produces good results, good, lasting fruit. As I was thinking about this, we were running low on food in our house, which with 11 children is not that uncommon. They can go through a lot of food pretty quickly. And in the event that I go to a grocery store, which we don't always because we find other ways to get our food directly from co-ops and farms and things like that. But in the event that I go to a store, it's always interesting. I go to the store and I buy a little snack for my family, maybe to hold us over a couple days. And I just was recently at Sprouts and, you know, the cashier, "Do you own a restaurant?" "No, I don't own a restaurant," right? I said, "This is actually just a little snack for my family," right? "What are you going to do with all those carrots?" "We're going to eat them." "What are you going to do with all that food?" "We eat the food. I have a lot of children." It's like, what do people buy at grocery stores? Do they not buy food? I get all these comments every time, almost every time I get comments when I go to the store. But we're running low on food, and one of my little farmer sons, He comes in bursting with a smile on his face. His arms are full of zucchini. "Look, Dad, we got zucchini in the garden. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing." It's a little picture of that blessing, right? When you eat the labor of your hands, you are blessed. You are blessed. It's a blessing to be able to work and to be able to gain the benefit of that work. That's God's blessing upon your family. You know, God's cursing, and the scripture says much about that. You will plant, but you will not eat the labor of your food. Someone else will get it. Someone else will steal it. Okay? That's the curse. So it is a blessing to be able to work and to be able to gain the benefit of that work. The blessed life, then, is a life full of meaningful, hard labor. The word for labor means labor, hard work. The blessed life is not a life of ease. The blessed life is not a life of, oh, I finally am done working now. Okay, that is not the blessed life. The blessed life is one full of labor and work, but you retain the benefit, the blessing of that labor and of that work. So Isaiah 65 verse 21 gives a very nice picture of this. Isaiah 65:21. "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. They shall be descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." This is God's blessing. This is the picture of God's blessing, that we would work hard, and we would be able to enjoy the labor of our hands. We in America, while we still recognize this blessing for the family, we have confused material blessing and materialism. We confuse the two. The reason God gives material blessing is to bless us in caring for ourselves, our families, and those in need around us, right? Be fruitful, multiply, take dominion. When man is rightly related to creation, he takes dominion, he harnesses the earth's resources for the glory of God and for the good of his family, for the good of his offspring, and for the good of other families and those who are in need to care and to help them. In other words, material prosperity is not an end in and of itself. It's a means by which we glorify God by showing love to others. Materialism switches that around. Materialism sees the blessing, if you call it that, as stuff. That materialism is the goal. The goal is to get more stuff, to be happy because you have more. This is not the case. This blessing is that we would work hard, that God would bless us with the means by which we have to meet the needs of those in our own families and in those in our communities and those around us. This is the blessing of the prosperity that comes from God. Prosperity of labor is for loving and caring for others, particularly the work of our hands. Now let's talk about the work of a mother. When it comes to the work of a mother, her work is a labor of love. Her work is a priceless labor. Carrying children in the womb, birthing children. You know, when a woman gives birth, what do they call that? There's a reason it's called labor. Okay? That's some of the hardest work any person, man or woman, will ever do. Man will never do it. It's labor. It's hard, intensive work. It's the work of womanhood. Laboring. And that laboring doesn't stop. It's caring for the baby. It's raising children. What is really happening is that mothers are in the front line of founding a civilization in their home. They take uncivilized babies that have not ever been civilized before. They don't know hardly anything. And they have to civilize these uncivilized little cute little babies that just want to rule your life from the moment that they're brought in. From 1 to 2 to 3, They need a lot of civilization. They need a lot of care and training. This requires a mother to labor hard in raising up the next generation. It takes all of her love. It will take all of her life. It will take all of her skill. Every skill that she may have, all the skills that God gives to a woman is needed in raising up the next generation. I mean, there's no amount of skill that she could not use. Skills in math, science, engineering, economics, medicine, education, training, theology, history, philosophy, whatever she's good at, it'll all be used. God will make sure of it. Because it's all needed in raising up the next generation. A mother's labor is among the most important work that she will ever do. When you ask an older woman, what are some of the most important things of your life? Well, I gave birth to these children and I raised them, right? And when they're older, and they'll say, well, I only had two children, right? I only had three children. When they're younger, they say, I have three children. It's a difference of perspective. But all the women will agree that it was among the most important works that they've ever done. Even Hillary Rodham Clinton. This is about the most important thing that's happened to me. I had a grandbaby. So I don't need to go more on that point. You understand the point of this. It's because it is an amazing grace of God. It is an amazing blessing. We are designed by this. Women are designed for this act of love and nurture and compassion and grace. Needless to say that being a mom is a full-time job. Being a mom is a full-time, 24/7 labor of love. And here's the real kicker. She will do this. She will raise her children without any pay. Without any pay. Therefore, a mother's love is the foundation for all that is good and charitable in the next generation. Marxism completely obliterates this. But we know that a mother's love is the foundation of all that is good and all that is charitable, and it lays that foundation. It lays that societal foundation from the day a baby is born. It lays that foundation for the next generation. If you want to destroy the next generation, remove the mothers from their homes. You want to destroy the next generation? Turn that heart of a mother away from her baby. Convince the mothers that real meaningful work is that which is done for pay. Divide them from their children in homes. Take these babies away from them. Put them in the daycares. This destroys the foundation of charity and the good life that God intends for her children. The devil knows this, and we know this. Proverbs 14:1 states, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." What is a wise woman doing? Building her house. What is the foolish woman doing? She's tearing it down with her hands. Sadly, many are deceived when it comes to motherhood. Unfortunately, I've watched many mothers who want to build their house with godly virtue and a Christian calling, only to see them tear it down by their own hands. And why do they tear it down? Why do they tear it down? If I was addressing the women of the world, I would suggest they tear it down because they're deceived. They're deceived. If I would address us, why would women who come and get a godly vision for their home and their life, why would they tear it down? I would suggest because of bitterness. Because of bitterness. Bitterness gets into the heart of a woman. And even though she may have a godly vision, even though she may want great things for her children. She becomes bitter. She tears down the works of God with her own hands. Why is it such a temptation for women to become bitter? Well, one reason is because women deal with a lot of pain. They have a hard job. It's a hard calling. And they deal with a lot of rejection. They deal with a lot of difficulties. Things don't always turn out the way they would like. And that hurts. Proverbs 17:25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." Women have difficulties. Mothers, their heart breaks. Their heart breaks for their children. When their children turn away, when their children don't obey, when their children don't honor them. It's difficult. And women being sensitive, they feel that pain. It's such a deep level. That rejection or that dishonor or that distrust. And if you're not careful, the bitterness will destroy your blessing. Bitterness destroys the blessing. So don't let that happen to you, my sister. Do not let bitterness creep into your heart. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12:15. This root of bitterness, this pain and hurt that is not dealt with over time turns into anger and frustration over time, gets turned inward and just digs down into the soul of a mother and roots in a bitterness. And when that bitterness gets in there, it just becomes foul. And it really does pollute the family. It can pollute many people, as the scripture says. And by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau for one morsel of food sold as birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Do not let bitterness destroy the blessing. God can turn your bitterness into blessedness. Let the Lord speak to your heart his gospel. Let the Lord speak to your heart his forgiveness. Let bitterness meet forgiveness. When bitterness meets forgiveness, you're transformed. When bitterness meets forgiveness, you're free. Free from the pain and the rejection and the difficulty that you have. And that will make your calling as a mother that much more joyful. The overflow of the gospel flowing into your family, the overflowing of the gospel flowing into your life. Yes, they will sin against you. People will do you wrong. Your children will give you a hard time. Society might make fun of you. You might do that step one of suffering. You may have to suffer loss. They may not understand. You may be made fun of. But don't become bitter. Believe in Christ. You may have experienced difficulty at the hands of others. I understand that's very painful. I tell you this, God knows your pain more than anyone. And he took your pain, he took your sin, he took your mistreatment, and he died for you so that you could be forgiven, so that you don't have to have a root of bitterness, so that you can receive his blessing today and overcome in a life of grace, in a life of love, and let this blessing of God become the blessing of your family. Because you, mom, are the blessing for your family. You are the source of that blessing. So let's focus on this blessing. Let's give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Proverbs 31:31 says, and that's an imperative. Give her the fruit of her hands. Don't be deceived in thinking that it's more satisfying to be a corporate career woman. Don't be deceived in bitterness and thinking that your emotions can be better served in nursing your pain rather than denying your pain in the name of Jesus Christ, who understands your pain and went to the cross to rescue you from you, to rescue you from this, from these emotions, these wonderful emotions that God has given you, but he's given them you for the purpose of others, of serving others, of loving others. Don't turn them inward. Don't get focused so much inward that you lose the reality of the love of God that he wants to shed in your heart, and then from your heart flow through the generations, flow through your family. This is the mother that every mom wants to be. You get this by being in Christ. You get this by embracing your womanly call to motherhood, to being a godly woman, a godly wife, pure, chaste, workers in the home, that the word of God be not blasphemed, Titus chapter 2. This is the glorious call. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Don't deny her the fruit of her hands. Don't deny her this amazing call that God has given mothers. Give her the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And it is a privilege for me to be among women, you sisters here, who excel them all. You are embracing this high calling of motherhood. You are embracing this difficult task of raising up the next generation. I asked my wife, which is harder, being a mom or being a nurse? I used to ask her that because she was a nurse and she worked at various hospitals, and she would say, by far, it is so much easier being a nurse than being a mom. I mean, this is a high calling, and our culture just looks down on it. Oh, you don't have a real job? No, I think the answer would be, oh, so you're neglecting your real job. You know, what is the real job of a woman? To be in the home and raise the kids and do the work of a mother. That is the high calling. It is the high calling. Our society is whacked. They have it upside down and confused. It is a high calling. It is a difficult calling. It is a challenging. I remember my mom. She felt so bad. She was in the 70s when she had me. I was born in 1973. And everybody would ask her, do you have a job? And she felt like hiding under a rock. This is the pinnacle of the feminist movement. People look back and they say, well, look, women couldn't do this, and they couldn't do this, and they couldn't do this, and they couldn't do this. And to this day, they celebrate. The first woman this, the first woman that, the first woman this. You know what all the women were doing throughout all the centuries? Does anybody have a clue what they were doing? Why they weren't doing all the first things that the men were doing? Does anybody have an idea? They were being moms! They understood the virtue and the value of being a mom, and they understood that it was a full-time job, and it took all their energy, took all their life to work hard to receive the blessing from God to raise up the next generation so you would be here today. If it wasn't for their labor and their love and their sacrifice, you wouldn't be here. Maybe a couple of you would be. But that's about it. How about we say thank you, Mom? How about we say thank you, Mom, to the women who are long gone, who gave their life. They weren't trying to be the first one to dig a hole on the other side of the hill. They were having children and raising them for the glory of God. And they were working hard. And they were doing all kinds of work. It's not wrong for a woman to earn income. In Proverbs 31, and she's buying a field next to her house, and she's planting, and she's doing all this stuff. She's industrious. I mean, Proverbs 31 is a picture of all that. But the focus is she's with her children in her home, raising up the next generation, interconnected for the glory of God. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Listen, look at verse 30, Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. That's true. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. You're only 20 for 10 years. That's it. You're only in your 20s for 10 years. Then you hit your 30s, and you're only there for 10 years. Then you hit your 40s, and then you hit your 50s and 60s. It's passing. It's passing. It's a flower, and it fades. But the glory of the Lord abides forever. The word of the Lord abides forever. And the works of a woman's calling last forever. What is more important than an eternal soul? What is more important than an eternal soul? Money? I don't think so. So, God made the man and the woman to work together to sustain their household with womanly works and manly deeds. This is the blessed family. Today we say mothers, or women, mothers, we honor the unseen labor of your hands. And it is unseen. It is unseen. I mean, the list is, it's so long, right? But it's unseen. It's in your home. We honor the unseen labor of your hands, and we ask God's blessing. Psalm 90, verse 17 is a wonderful summary of this blessing. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That is my prayer for you. That is my prayer for the family. That the beauty of the Lord our God would be upon us. That God's beauty would rest upon you, your household. And he would establish the work of your hands. This is the blessing of family prospered by God. Next, we see that a mother is God's love on display. And this is what it looks like. Psalm 128:3. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. So we see here that the woman, the mother, in her bonds of love, connect hearts together. Again, this is a picture of a blessed woman. She's fruitful. She produces life. This life comes from her body or by adoption. Adoption is a legitimate, biblical, glorious way to bring children into your family. So I'm not negating adoption at all. But people do come from a biological man and a biological woman coming together in holy matrimony and producing offspring. Just in case, we have to be clear on that. Sometimes it gets confused. Mother, and mothers alone, okay? Mothers alone, as in females, they are the source of all that is living. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his name Eve because she was the mother of all living. That's very important to celebrate on Mother's Day. So no matter what, you honor your mother because she gave birth to you. Amen? Mothers are the source of all living. That's what a mother is defined as, the source of all that is living. So if you value life, you value mothers. If you don't value life, you don't value mothers. They go hand in hand. A culture that values life values mothers. A culture that does not value life does not value mothers. A pro-choice mentality it devalues mothers. It's a pro-choice mothering thing. It's everything's a choice. I can do what I want. No, when you value life, that's where life comes from. Mothers are the source of life because she was the mother of all living. Mothers are life givers. When you plant an olive tree, you rejoice over its fruit. It is God's blessing to prosper your family. When you work hard and receive financial increase for your work, you rejoice because it is God prospering your family. And when your wife is fruitful with many children, you rejoice in this because this too is understood as a blessing from God. And again, this is where the lies of our culture undermine this blessing. Birth control and abortion destroy this blessing. They destroy this blessing. The birth control mentality, which the logical extension of the birth control mentality is abortion, that man is sovereign and he can choose and determine when and when he wants to do this. No, God is sovereign. When you buy an olive, when you get an olive plant and you plant it, you don't say, "Oh wow, there's too many olives." When you work hard and you receive financial payment, "Oh wow, I have too much money. I don't want all this money," right? When you have children, you'll say, "Well, I have too many children. I need to kill some or put some back." No. It's a blessing. And blessings are blessings from God. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. There's two images here that really speak of this blessing. The vine and the olive plants. The vine speaks to a mother's connectivity. A mother's connectivity. Women, mothers, are designed to build connections within the family. Her bonds of love connecting hearts together. Just like a vine connects and flows. Everything is connected together. An olive plant speaks of volume of fruit. Okay? Olives produce a lot of fruit. That's why the picture here is of an olive plant with the children. Olives are very, very prolific. So it is the picture of a blessed family with a lot of children all around your table. Now, does this mean that just because it's not the number of children, the issue is always trusting in God? I mean, some couples can't have children. Okay? That's God's sovereign plan. You know, that happens. Sometimes God doesn't give babies to every couple, does he? Like Abraham and Sarah. She was barren and God had a special plan for her. So I'm not negating that. I'm stating this. The point is that God gives this blessing, so we should receive this blessing from God by faith. Right? Just like you do. Just like sometimes there's a really big harvest, and sometimes, some seasons, the harvest isn't that great. It's not that plentiful. Right? So it is. The point is we have to trust God. So don't feel bad on the one hand or on the other. Who gives the increase? God does. What is our stewardship? God, I'm open, I receive. Okay, God is in control of these things, whether it's 1, 2, or 10. The point is, it's God's blessing and design according to his will. So, but I want to develop here the images here of a vine. The vine. So think about this, the vine. What is the vine doing? Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. A vine is that which grows everywhere. It grows on the structure that it's provided. It grows alongside the house, up the house, over the house, through the house, all over the place, right? That's the picture of a mom. She's up there, over here, under this, through this. She's all over the place. She's connected. And her connectivity connects everything and everyone together as she's bearing fruit. She's a very fruitful vine in the very heart of her house. She's a fruitful vine communicating and spreading. What is the mission of a vine? A vine takes the nutrients from its roots and spreads it all over to its fruits. What is the role of a mother? Well, she takes the nutrients from her roots and she spreads them all over her to her children. So this means for a mother to be a fruitful vine, she has to have a good root system. What's the root system? The gospel, right? Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing." So once again, bitterness will destroy your family. Christ will exalt your family. So let the mothers be connected to Christ in the gospel and draw from his nutrients. Abide in the vine. Abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. John 15, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Draw from the roots of the gospel of Jesus Christ and then be a fruitful mom who has this vining, this connectivity all throughout your house, touching all the different pieces, all the different parts, and bringing the gospel, bringing the word of God, bringing the truth to bear in all that you say and all that you do. It's a glorious picture, isn't it? It's a glorious picture. A recent study of the Christian home by Barna found a very interesting an interesting note about the connectivity of mothers done just this year. It finds that mothers, more often than fathers or any other category of frequent participants in households, are seen as the main connectors. So today, this year, mothers are the number one connectors in relationships in their house, more than any other people, places, friends, peer groups, anything. It's mothers, and that's a witness to God's design. They are seen as the confidence providers of support, drivers of faith formation. We observe this dynamic in the response of adults who esteem and rely on their moms as sources of strength, companionship, and wisdom. In turn, mothers still meet a range of needs and provide support for their grown children or, when applicable, grandchildren. But some of the clearest examples of the broad impact of mothers surface in the response of Generation Z, who offer a portrait of mothers who are present, passionate, and faithful. That's a pretty good outline. They're present, passionate, and faithful. That's the fruitful vine in the very heart of her house. Barna says, today's Christian teens consistently identify their mothers as the principal person for almost all activities. That's pretty phenomenal. You wouldn't get this from the mainstream media, would you? You wouldn't get that mothers are the principal persons for activities of teenagers today. And he gives some examples. From eating meals together, watching TV or movies, or talking about God, and having confrontations, mothers are the primary person for their teens. The only time mothers are not leading the way is when it comes to activities like interacting on social media or playing sports that are dominated by friendships. So with the exception of social media and playing with sports, mothers are the main categories. Mothers are at the top of the list. Why? Because God created moms to be fruitful vines in the heart of their house. This is what God's will is for moms. Moms, your bonds of love connect our hearts to you, to God, and to one another. So what is your role of a mom? To be the source of all that is loving. To connect hearts and minds to yourself, to God, and to each other. Think mom is a fruitful vine, touching everything in the house, right? I mean, you move one thing. Why is that moved? How did you know that, right? And moms can hear through walls. They can see through buildings, right? I tell my boys, I say, you know, if you did something wrong, just tell your mom. She's going to find out anyway. There's no way you're going to hide it. She's going to find out. Just tell her. Well, and then they don't tell her. And then she finds out. And it's just amazing. I don't know how she does it. She just, this. She said, did you just do that? Right? Where did you? Just tell her. She's like the vine in our house. She's connected to all these different pieces, right? You're not going to be able to get away from her. The interconnectivity of mom. They can see out the back of their head, the front of their head, around. It's amazing. You think they put bugs in the house, like little devices and spy, but they don't. They're just gathering information like this, always gathering information. So this is a mom. This is her gifting. This is her calling. This is why God made the mothers to be like this, so that they could care for, raise up the next generation. The statistics of today make this painfully clear. Mom, your bonds of love connect our hearts to you, to God, and to one another. Keep up the good work. You are made for this. You are the fruitful vine in the heart of your house. Your children are like olive plants all around your table. So the picture of the olive plant is a fruitful vine, a fruitful planting, right? And it's interesting, he mentions here, all around your table. From the ancient time to the current time, when does the family get all together? Because again, what is the family doing? Working, right? Families work because there's a lot of labor that needs done. This is the blessed family, not sitting around watching TV. The TV came in, and the history of the TV, it displaced the work and the cultural socialization of the family and put the boob tube right in the middle, the TV right in the middle, right? You can put TV. Now it's only gotten worse because now it's not the TV. The family's sitting around watching TV. Now everybody's in their own isolated corner on their own iPhones and iPads and computers and things like that. So, do we use computers in our family? Yes. But there's something that stands against that. It's called the family mealtime. They had the same problem. They didn't have the same problems in the ancient time, but they were busy in the ancient time, right? Working sun up to sun down. But you know what they did? They all got together and they ate the family meal. This is exactly what we need today. How do we stand against the onslaught of fragmentation, of individualization, of special interests on computers? You eat the family meal together. We get together and we eat a family meal together on a daily basis as much as we're able to. Right? This is the blessing. All around your table, the family table. Why should you eat a family meal together? Well, for starters, research found that young children, dinner time conversation boosts vocabulary even more than being read to out loud. So you want to help your children's vocabulary? Researchers counted the number of rare words, those not found on a list of 3,000 most common words that families use during dinner conversation. Young kids learn 1,000 rare words at the dinner table compared to only 143 from parents reading storybooks aloud. Kids who have a larger vocabulary do better in life. So, why should you have a family table? Teach your kids how to talk. It socializes your children. Family meals are more nutritious. A Harvard study found that families who eat together are twice as likely to eat their 5 servings of fruits and vegetables as families that don't eat together. So families that eat together, they eat more nutritious meals. Families who eat family meals together tend to eat a wider variety of foods and become less picky eaters. So they're not saying, I don't want to eat. They don't do that. Families that eat together, they eat better, and they're not as picky. Why? Because the goal is not eating. You're socializing, right? You're modeling. Family meals provide an opportunity for family members to come together, strengthen ties, and build better relationships. They build a sense of belonging, which leads to a better self-esteem, is in the article here. Self-esteem, self-awareness, belonging. Connectivity. All happens in the family meal. Family meals offer parents a chance to be role models. They can set an example of healthy eating and polite table manners. Family meals help prevent obesity. Research shows that people tend to eat less during family meals because they eat more slowly and talk more. That's interesting, isn't it? I find that interesting. It's more satisfying. You're sharing a passion together. You're eating together, right? Sharing food is sharing, but it's not about that passion as much as it is the enculturation of life, that you're sharing life together. What happened in the day? Research shows that kids who eat family meals have a lower chance of engaging in high-risk behavior such as violence, substance abuse, alcohol. They have fewer psychological problems. The list goes on and on and on. Don't you love God's word? You got to love the Bible. The Bible's amazing. I mean, a little phrase here. Here's a picture of the blessing. Your children are like olive plants all around your table. That's a blessing. Don't deny your family table. Don't deny your family mealtime. Have that time together. Have that make that space. We're all busy. But make that space so that you can have this time together. And finally, God's blessing on your family is a multi-generational blessing. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Shalom Yisrael. Peace be upon Israel. It's a multi-generational blessing. So let me encourage you. Wherever you've come from, know this, that God is choosing you to receive this blessing. What's the condition? Faith in God. What does that mean? The fear of the Lord, walking in his ways. When you walk in the ways of the Lord, what does he bring? He brings labor that produces good fruit. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. It shall be well with you. What does this look like? Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children are like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears Yahweh, who fears the Lord. This is a picture of a blessed life. It's a picture of the blessed life from the ancient times, and it is a picture of the blessed life that is very much alive and well in America today. Everyone recognizes that this is a picture of the blessed. Now, they may curse the root. They may curse the doctrine to get there. They may not want to walk in the ways of the Lord, but you better believe when they see this picture lived out in your life, they say, well, you've been blessed. Even your enemies will say you've been blessed. So let's have a revival and ask God to help us uncover these ancient blessings that we may walk them out today for the glory of God. This is a picture of the man who is blessed. And this is the calling for blessing. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. For us, we say, may God's blessing rest among his churches. May this blessing rest upon the church. And may the church not be seduced by the culture any longer and by the cultural lies any longer. May we come out from among them and receive this blessing from Yahweh. Receive this blessing from our God. That we would enjoy this. That mothers, especially mothers, because mothers take so much of the heat for this stuff. May the mothers be blessed. May your faith in God be blessed. May the nurturing love that God has given you be blessed. May you be fruitful in your blessing. Don't grow weary in doing good. I know it's hard. Don't become bitter or discouraged because how difficult it is. But rather, look to this blessing and trust God and hold on for the blessing that only he can give. And this is the multi-generational blessing. Again, you can't make this happen. It's a byproduct of trusting in God. You can't force it to happen. It's a byproduct of walking in the ways of God. But the multi-generational blessing, yes, may you see your children's children. May you inherit this multi-generational blessing that you would see your children's children. That your family would not run into fragmentation and be obliterated by the cultural noise and mayhem and confusion. But my prayer for you, mother, is that you see your children's children. Shalom Yisrael. May God's peace rest upon the church, and may God's peace rest upon you, mothers, for your faith and for your love and for your sacrifice. We honor you. We thank God for you. Happy Mother's Day. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this truth. We pray, O Lord God, that you'd use these simple truths, basic truths, that you'd help us to see what this looks like, what this can look like in our culture of unbelief. That we would bear the fruit of repentance, that you'd rebuild the foundation of many generations, and that you bless mothers, that you bless fathers, and that you would bless the next generation to rise up and call you blessed. For this is your plan and your wisdom for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.